Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. My name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
Wait a minute. Who is that? John, I gotta rub my eyes here.
Is that Jane Marie?
Is that Jane Marie Schaefer?
I don't know. I can't see through the computer screen here. Sounds like
Is it me or is it an imposter?
Well, it might be an imposter because you forgot the code for the outside door.
I did. It's been a while. I forgot it.
So what did you do with the real Jane Marie?
Wow.
I left her on vacation. So.
Well, good morning, everyone. Jane Marie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every single weekend, some iteration of us, talking to you about estate planning and elder law. Last couple weeks, it's been Phil and I talking to you about those topics. But we're very happy to see you back, Jane Marie. Welcome. Where have you been?
I've been on the Cape for vacation.
Well, that's nice.
That was very nice. The weather was not so nice, but a little cloudy, a little rainy.
All right, well.
A little cool.
You got away. I could tell you the temperature in the office was the same every single day. You didn't miss all that much. So I recall you saying you were going to be helping your son moving somewhere or something like that. I hope he has friends that helped him instead.
He did, but he's in the middle of it. So our house is full of his boxes right now and his furniture. It's like all over the place.
Have you decided what you're going to do with his room now that he's out?
Yeah, I have many ideas for it. Like
a day spa, perhaps?
A yoga studio.
A room just for the chickens?
Yeah, a side room for the chickens in the winter. There's plenty of ideas there, yeah.
Well, it's wonderful to have you back. I hope you're rested and relaxed.
Very rested, yes.
I imagine the Cape was incredibly crowded, but I don't really know much about the Cape. So why don't you tell us?
So the Cape is wonderful, but the getting there and leaving there,
it's like one road, right?
It's one road. It's like going to the Hamptons if you're on Long Island, but you know, it's more. We were sitting in traffic, I think, for 5.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's only one road, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, one main road goes from one end of the Cape to the other, yeah.
So that's a little frustrating, but once you get there, of course, you forget.
Yeah, it was all worth it, though.
It's all worth it.
It's a call-in show, and you could reach us at 518-476-5900. You know, Jane Marie, Phil and I, last week, we were talking about a couple different topics, and one of them was about just this general idea of timing. And I wanted to get your take on it, because the example that had brought itself to our attention, during the week, 2 weeks ago, was that typical fact pattern where someone wants to kick the tires on home care, and it sounds like a good idea, and maybe even mom or dad's in the room with the kids, right? And we're all talking about it. And they say that this is great, so good to know. I don't think we're there yet. Meaning, I don't think we need enough care for this next level of legal planning and, you know, doing the Medicaid application and so on. And what Phil and I were talking about is how, while, you know, if John has the sniffles, he's not going to run to the doctor. He's going to wait until he's a little sicker, right, before he's going to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
With home care, it's okay to start early because as long as there's a need, let's take care of that need. And even if that need is small, we know by definition, this isn't the kind of thing that just gets cured like the sniffles. I don't want to say it. It kind of only gets worse.
Right. That's true. So now I think that if you start the process, it's just going to be so much easier later on when you need more care. So to have that kind of out of the way, that upfront application and, you know, evaluation process, you know, get started, get, you know, 2 hours a day. That can help, right? And then as you need more care, it's going to be much easier to increase your care.
And like, you know, don't get us wrong out there. We're not happy to be having this conversation. We wish we didn't have to have conversations like this at all. But you made the appointment. You made the appointment, right? We didn't just reach out to you and say, hey, is everything all right? You came in because something is obviously not okay or we're worried about the future. And that doesn't always mean, Jane Marie, that we do need to do a community Medicaid application. Sometimes it really is early because mom or dad has a diagnosis of something like dementia, but they're completely on their own.
Yes.
And they're shopping and driving and it's all good, but they just want to know what the future may look like. That's different. If we're like, hey, we check in on mom every now and then, and we're, you know, 4 months from now, we're not sure how it's going to work. Maybe she'll need a little more care. Mm-hmm. We kind of know it's going to take that long to get the care situated to begin with.
Yeah, I think before vacation, I think I met with two people in a week that had very early diagnosis of dementia. So we were just talking about what would come down the line. They didn't need anything right then, but at least we could talk about the process so they would understand what we need to do for a Medicaid application. I even gave them the list, you know, right. So you can start to put all your documents in the right place.
Sure. And I guess if that person, that family didn't have a Medicaid trust, well, you'd get one going because
that's right.
We know it's a slow progression.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 years is very doable, especially when we know we can get the home care while we're going through those 5 years.
That's right. You can do the home care, and as you can switch from a few hours to more hours, you can always switch to nursing home down the road.
So, you know, we talked about this on the radio last week, and then sure enough, during the week, a client that actually, I'll just give the fact pattern real quick, husband and wife, husband died earlier in the year. Wife not doing so hot in terms of a diagnosis in the dementia family, let's say. Mm-hmm. And daughter came in, and daughter was super overwhelmed mm-hmm. with the whole fact, you know, mm-hmm. lost her father and now right. dealing with the diagnosis for her mother and not there where there's a lot of care that's needed. And so we met twice and we actually were retained to do community Medicaid and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole summer went by nothing, not a peep. And so they came back in, and now granddaughter came in as well, as did mom, so grandma, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
And we all had this really, I'm going to say, nice conversation. It was, you know.
The circumstances were not
yes.
great. But.
But we had a really good conversation where mom's, grandma's input was in there, and there was this idea that, look, we know that even if we qualify for the program right now, we're probably not going to use it yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Thanksgiving time. Thanksgiving's only 3 months away, by the way. I don't know if you guys realize this. It's not, like, literally, I think it's 3 months to this past Thursday.
Doesn't feel like it.
Blows me away.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
So to think between Thanksgiving and Christmas, maybe that's when the care would actually start in terms of the process. All of a sudden, it was like, well, we might need that help then.
That's
might
right.
be a little help, but we might need it. And then the elephant in the room was, and I feel, like, always obligated to tell people, Jamarie, I know you do, April 1st, supposedly,
yes. mm-hmm.
there's changes coming.
That's right. So the 2.5-year look-back period still haunts us. It's still
out there. It's still
there.
Out there.
That's right. It's been delayed, but we can't ignore it because it's probably going to be implemented, if not April 1st, sometime next year. So it's better to get your application in now. I mean, not, of course, you can't just apply if you don't have a need.
Right.
But if you have a need and you're thinking about it, don't wait that long.
So, you know, Jamarie, we have listeners that listen to us quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And they've heard this tune.
Yes.
For 3 years.
I know. They don't believe us anymore.
When they first heard us screaming October 1st of 2020, it's coming, the look back. And listen, we get no joy out of it. And I think we both, I mean, I know for myself, I'd like to actually know your thoughts just to put it on the record here. I don't think they will implement this. But the law currently says they are going to implement it. So we do need to kind of plan for it.
Right. I don't think they're going to either.
Yeah.
So, but you still have to plan for it.
And if they do, Jamarie, this look back, what that means is the fact that you created a trust the month before we apply no longer is going to work.
You can't be last minute, right? I mean, you always have to plan ahead.
Yeah.
But we always had this little kind of trick up our sleeve that if it was last minute, we could do community Medicaid instead of a nursing home application.
Yeah, it was like a little net under the
right.
Trapeze Act.
Mm-hmm.
And so twofold. And for those people, by the way, who in the summer of 2020, summer of COVID, mm-hmm. right, if they,
yes.
they heard us and they said, you know what, I'm doing well,
mm-hmm.
but I'm recognizing now even for home care in the future, there's a look back period. A lot of those people came in and they did the trust.
That's right.
They didn't have the need. They just did the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in that trust will be now protected because it's been more than 2.5 years since that first alarm.
That's right. this has been going on that long, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, on one side, it suggests there's nothing wrong with planning, and oh, by the way, probate, which I'd like to talk about in the second half of the show here. Mm-hmm. But number one, you could just do the trust earlier to protect things earlier. Mm-hmm. It's all good proactive work. Or obviously, if there's that need. Now, people have asked, well, if they do this look back period, what does that mean? Does it mean that anything that I do now is retroactive? And back when it was October of 2020, when we got real close, the guidance, I believe, that we saw, nothing was official, was that they would only say that if you applied for Medicaid prior to that date, you don't have to provide 2.5 years of all the stuff and the look back doesn't apply. But if you did a trust within the last 2.5 years and you applied after the date, mm-hmm. we're stuck.
That's right.
Which is a scary place to be. You don't want to be there.
Yes. We can't say for sure how they will implement it, but that's likely to be the way.
It would be wonderful if they say any trust made before and any funding of the trust is exempt.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it would be even better if they don't even implement the thing, but we're
right.
always balancing this thing of telling our clients what we actually think,
mm-hmm.
right? And our feelings on it and our predictions on it, while also telling them what literally the law says as of right this moment.
That's right. I mean, I may think it's not going to be implemented, but I certainly tell everyone to do a trust. And many reasons to do it, but this is one of them. Yeah,
that's right. It's call-in show, and 518-476-5900 is the call-in number. The other thing I want to talk about, Jim, well, there's two more things, but one is a big thing, and I need to like make a recording, and whenever someone says these words at a consult, I just press the button, and then we sit back and listen for a minute or two, because I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you probably would agree. Everyone always says, what about my will? So if we're having a conversation about trust, and sometimes they already have a trust, mm-hmm. another attorney did it. They've had a trust for years.
Mm-hmm.
We get through our thing and they say, now, what about the will?
Right.
Right. And what is my executor going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you could see my face here. I'm not, this is driving me crazy even
right
now talking about it. What about the will, Jamarie?
I would say your executor doesn't have much of a role. Right? And that's what I tell them. Let's not worry about the will.
Well, so why not?
Because we are planning so that we don't need to probate. So we are hoping to not have to use your will. I mean, you should have one just as a precaution. But all of our planning is so that we don't have to go to probate.
Exactly right. So we just shift the lingo. And instead of a will, which has to go through probate, I had a conversation yesterday where existing client said, well, I thought we did a pour over will so that we don't have to go through probate. So in this situation, they did a trust, John. So they have a trust, right?
Yeah.
A good old fashioned Medicaid trust. Things have been in there for like over a decade. Great. And they're going to tweak something in the trust. They're going to amend the trust because they have the right to amend the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation said, all right, it was a quick little amendment. And she said, well, what about the will? And I said, well, we don't want anything to go through the will, but we'll update your will as well to make sure it matches your trust plan.
Right.
Right. I'm staring at this clock. Are we good here?
Yeah. We'll take a break. Why not?
Yeah. We'll be right back with hold that thought, everybody. It's a nice little cliffhanger here. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And my name is Jean Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jean Marie. And before we had that amazing cliffhanger, I feel like this could be some sort of network drama here. We were talking about the idea of wills, particularly when we do trust. So you often hear Jean Marie talk about how it's really important to avoid probate, because probate is a lot of times just an unnecessary cost and delay in administering one's estate after they die. When we do a trust, and whether it's a revocable trust or whether it's one of those Medicaid asset protection trusts we always talk about, one of the goals, one of the main goals, by the way, is to avoid probate, to get money to the right people, the right way, your entire estate plan without having the state of New York's surrogates court get involved. Okay? So far, so good. Mm-hmm. So we do a trust, and we tell you, let's put things in the trust, and Jean Marie's going to deed your house or your houses, depending mm-hmm. on how we're doing, into the trust. And, you know, there are certain assets that stay outside of the trust, Jamie, right? So monies with beneficiaries are going to stay out of the trust.
Right. Retirement accounts are going to stay outside of the trust. They can't go into the trust.
Individual retirement has to be owned by individual, et cetera. Now, if we're doing a revocable trust, other monies may have beneficiaries. We always focus on real estate because real estate doesn't have beneficiaries. You may have a CD that is TOD, transfer on death, mm-hmm. to your son. In a revocable trust situation, we don't need that CD to be inside the trust to avoid probate because it's already got a beneficiary, right?
Right.
In the Medicaid version of the trust, we actually want that CD to go into the trust, not because of the probate thing, but because of the protection. We're worried about during your life, not what happens when you die. So far, so good. No matter the trust that we do, Jean Marie is going to say, all right, now let's talk about your will. And who would you like to be your executor? And et cetera, et cetera. And the beneficiary of that will, I'd say 99 out of 100 times, if not 100 out of 100, is going to be the trust that you created, Jean Marie.
Yes.
It's a pour over will.
Yes.
We do it just in case.
Right.
And it's not in case you die. Right? The trust says what happens when you die. We do the pour over will in case, I don't know, it turns out you died because there's something in your lungs called mesothelioma.
Yeah.
Right? Or because some doctor somewhere screwed up. Mm-hmm. Or some driver somewhere screwed up. Or you know what? You just happened to forget about something in your estate. You had MetLife insurance, and all of a sudden you realize, Jean Marie, that you have what else?
MetLife stock.
Yeah. How many times has that happened, by the way?
Oh my gosh, every week. It happens all the time.
Yeah, when they demutualize, you ended up getting stock in MetLife. It's a thing. So the point, though, is that when you come in and you're just, you know, doing an amendment to your trust, or you're doing a trust for the first time, we're going to talk about your will, and we're going to do a will. It's going to be a good will. It's going to pour into your trust. It's going to have all the bells and whistles in case you somehow got rid of your trust. It's goodwill. But the plan is to never use it.
Right. Right. We want, so I always do as you do, go through all of your assets and talk about whether they should be titled in the trust or not. Do they have beneficiaries? I said, This is a great time to review everything. This is, you know, kind of speaking of, you know, when someone dies, there's a booklet that we have. Yeah. And it's a wonderful booklet. It's What My Family Should Know. And you can list everything in there.
It's pretty cool, actually. There's, I think, the first couple pages, just a family tree. So, John, it's this little booklet. Mm-hmm. And anything from, account numbers for your different accounts, mm-hmm. Family tree, you know, or you want to share a recipe with the family.
Oh, okay.
There's all sorts of things you could mm-hmm. put in there.
Something you'd like to pass along.
That's right.
Yeah, and it'll say, you know, this is who my accountant is. This is who my financial advisor is.
Okay,
this
that is
who
my handy to have it all in one place, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you don't want everyone maybe in your business during your life, but they'll have a roadmap after.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. So it's a great exercise to go through all this. And as we go through it, we're making sure everything has a beneficiary. Everything's in the trust. You know, things are joint. Sometimes you add your children joint on the accounts. And that's hopefully we don't miss anything.
And the other little offshoot of that, Jean Marie, which you just triggered something in my brain, is we got to make sure those beneficiaries, those backup beneficiaries, reflect what your wishes are. Mm-hmm. You know, the rules in that trust that Jane Marie does, it only impacts the things that are in that trust or the things that go through that trust. And if you say, you know what, I'm not thrilled with my son anymore and I want to leave everything to my daughter, and you still have a couple accounts that have both of them on it, you just got to realize you have some more work to do outside of the trust itself.
Yeah, oftentimes we change your beneficiary to the trust.
Yeah.
So that trust I set up for my son that says he gets no money until he's 50, that's where the money will go rather than going to him directly.
What a controlling mother you are. Jeez.
It's for his own benefit.
I'm sure you'll be a wonderful mother-in-law one day, Jane Marie.
Oh, boy.
You'll stay out of it, I'm sure. Well, so there's this one topic I did want to talk about because it's a little technical, but, you know, we learn in school, in elementary, not elementary, I guess middle school, mm-hmm. multiplication, right?
Yes.
And you learn that if you multiply a negative number times another negative number, you get a positive number.
Right.
Two wrongs do not make a right. That's only a multiplication thing. Mm-hmm. And where does two negatives not equaling, it just mm-hmm. becomes a bigger negative? Well, in the world of estate litigation,
mm-hmm.
I have a litigation, guys, that's been going on for 6 years.
Wow.
Six. Okay. The person passed away in the year 2017. Okay. It's been 6 years. And I'm not going to get into why all the fighting's gone on, but let's just say the fighting has gone on so long that one of the litigants, mm-hmm. one of the people involved in the litigation has passed away.
Wow.
Wow.
And our clients, some of the siblings
Man.
That we represent, didn't even know. We found out from the guy's attorney.
Oh, wow.
This is how contentious it's been, mm-hmm. is that they didn't even know their sibling passed.
Wow.
Okay.
That's awful.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
So in order to get to the, and this person who passed away childless and spouseless.
And without a will, I bet.
And without parents, because that was the parents' estate we were fighting over to begin with. There was a will, Jane Marie,
okay.
but that will has to go through probate.
Right.
One of the assets of that gentleman's estate is going to be whatever proceeds come from mm-hmm. our litigation.
Right.
Right. And Jane Marie would tell you that in New York, if you die without a will, without children, or no, with a will, regardless of will, you die without a spouse, without children, without parents, the quote unquote distributees, the interested parties, the people I need to go to in a probate are your siblings.
Same people that you're fighting against.
They got to come to my clients and say, hey, are your clients planning on contesting our guy's will? Are your guys planning on signing a waiver and consent so we can move this along here? And I emailed our clients and I said, hey, listen, I know it's been whatever, whatever here, but we need an end to this, and we only get to an end when someone can sign for your brother's estate, and it may be his estate isn't as litigious as your brother was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, unless you think there's really big grounds to contest something here, let's play nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not delay things like they have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not multiply a negative times a negative.
Right.
And let's just sign the waiver, again, if you feel that he had the right state of mind when he created his estate plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the client said, I'll think about it. So we'll see how it goes. And I said a negative times a negative does not work out. It does just works out in math.
Well, your client must love litigation. I mean, if they contest that will, it's going to be
not
several more years.
Well, they're really pissed off about all the things that have gone on over, guys, 6 years.
Yeah.
They lost their parents 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they're reminded of the fact that they don't get along, and then this happens. And kind of a reminder, look, bad things happen all the time. And over a six-year period, anything can happen.
Right.
I mean, I'm not dealing with spring chickens here, okay? They're all getting up there in age.
That's right.
And at some point, you know, it'd be nice if there's just an end. And one of the things that one of the opposing attorneys mentioned was, I don't think... that estate of brother is going to feel the same way that he did. As
right.
a little olive branch,
a little
wink,
there.
Wink, let's move
That's
this
right.
along here.
That's right.
So, just really interesting. And another, you know, call it, you know, reason 1,000,005 for why you want to avoid probate.
Right.
Because then we don't have to go through so much of that procedure.
Yeah, what if parents had done a trust 7 years ago before they passed?
They did do a trust.
Oh, okay.
The problem is, though, Jane Marie, they did a trust.
Yes.
But there were a good amount of assets that were not in the trust that did not have beneficiaries. And so we had to probate.
That's mistake number two, though.
Mistake number two.
Right.
Mistake number three was thinking that accounts are retirement accounts when they're not. You gotta know what you have. You know, back to that
happens a lot too.
Back to that little manual, you know, what my family should know. There's pages on there, John, just about your finances. And you don't have to get into the nitty gritty of your passwords and all that stuff and you know. But for you to understand what you own and how you own it is the building block of then creating a plan. Mm-hmm. Whenever we have people come in, Jay Marie, and they say, I can't believe you made me fill out this whole questionnaire.
Yes, they do.
It's for them. It's not for us as much.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I get it.
I mean, say it's for them and for their children.
You know, a lot of times I don't understand the other assets they have, some of these retirement accounts that are floating around out there. It's like, what is what? I've never been able to keep track of that stuff. I mean, I have, but... there's a lot of things come into play, you're telling me here.
They're just the facts.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we just want to know the facts.
Yeah, and you should, because you need to consider everything.
Well, like Jay Marie said, retirement accounts can't go in the trust. Non-retirement accounts can. We need to know exactly what it is.
I see, okay.
Right. If you're not sure what it is, show Jay Marie a statement. She knows it up and down.
Oh, good.
I would say that you were mentioning something that you say every day in consults. This is something every day.
Oh, you want to? Can we record this after the show and she could then just press a button in the future?
Because a client would come in, they fill out the questionnaire wrong. They're like, I have $200,000 of investments. I'm like, great, let's look at the statement. I'm like, it's an IRA.
Yep.
I'm like, did you know that was an IRA?
Well, and the reason why it may matter, guys, is if someone's renting an apartment and they just have this big account, it turns out it's all retirement, we may not do a trust to begin with for them.
Right.
So it's not, you know, it's just factual and helps us give recommendations.
Right.
And it's not all trust. It might be you really just need a basic little plan.
But sometimes, you know, people don't know. They get confused. Another thing is whether it's a qualified or non-qualified annuity.
Yeah.
That's very tricky.
Whether an account is joint or not, they put it in the joint column, but it's really just in husband's name and wife's name is not on it. Not by, you know, for any bad reason. It's just they didn't get around to it.
Or sometimes it's the other way around. Husband and wife consider this is my account and that's her account. Right? Yeah. They run them separately, but they are joint, which is good anyway. Yeah. So that's why we ask you to bring in the statements besides filling out the questionnaire. So we can look at the statements and figure it out for you. If you can't figure it out.
And, you know, worst case scenario, all your stuff is organized and in a big pile.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just throw it somewhere and forget about it.
That's right.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.